Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want to talk to you for a few moments on light afflictions. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul is a character study in Christianity. He's the poster child for Christian conversion. The Apostle Paul, the terroristic Christian-hating, Christian-murdering criminal that he was, could become the loving apostle that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. If that can happen to him, salvation can come to anybody. It doesn't matter how addicted, how wasted, how agnostic, how atheistic they are. Christ can save anybody. His victorious, overcoming attitude is defined in this text. He said, just light afflictions. He counted all of his afflictions as light and momentary compared to the eternal reward of heaven with Jesus Christ. Paul's attitude about his affliction qualified him for this confession about love. And it's a great confession. His unshakable faith gave him the fortitude to make the confession. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's quite a declaration. He names everything that he can think of, temporal and supernatural, and says none of it can separate us from the love of God. It was because not only God's love for him, but his love for God. He understood the power of the gospel. To fully appreciate the love of God, you have to understand the power of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we align ourselves with those. Repentance is a type, an emblematic of the death that Christ experienced for us. So when you repent of your sins, you're identified with the death of Christ. The Bible tells us that water baptism is parallel with his burial. The Bible said we are buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said it's the same Spirit that quickened Christ. It is parallel with his resurrection. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection, and how we identify with it. And the Apostle Paul was a great soldier of the gospel. He called it my gospel, because it was the gospel that rescued him from being the murderer that he was to becoming the Christian that he became. It was the power of the gospel. He rejoiced in the gospel. He said there's not another gospel. And because of that, it gave him tremendous endurance. It gave him tremendous stability and loyalty. He said, no matter what happens to me, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And that's the question I pose to you today. Is there anything that can separate you from the love of Christ? Christ's love will not quit for you, but will your love for Christ subside because something happens to you? I'm convinced that more people quit God because they fail God, then God fails them. He does not fail. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're living in a time where people are more sensitive than they've ever been, particularly in the world, but it bleeds into the church. People are easily offended. I've told you on several occasions, but one lady left this church because years ago I preached about washing your car, and she claimed she had the dirtiest car in the parking lot, and I was talking personally about her. Yeah, like every Sunday I go out in the parking lot and I look at every car and say, oh, there it is. Then I get their license number, and then I call somebody that I know at the Bureau of Licensing, and I get their name and say, oh, I'm going to preach against them because their car is dirty. The devil wants to offend you. You will be offended when nobody's even talking about you. One guy said, I'm so sensitive, I can't go to a football game. Every time they huddle, I think they're talking about me. Some people are extremely offensive. But the Apostle Paul said, nothing separates me. Nothing offends me. When you look at the things that were in his life, the afflictions that he experienced, any one of them would take out most American Christians today. Any one of them. And there were dozens listed and hundreds experienced, and none of them affected his allegiance to Christ. Paul brushed away these afflictions like they were a annoying gnat. They simply don't matter. But he does take time to list them in the scripture. He said, I have received stripes above measure. Have you ever been whipped for being a Christian? He said, I have received stripes above measure. He said, in prison more frequent. He said, I was in prison more often than not. In fact, most of the New Testament that he wrote was written from prison. And it's amazing when you take the context of prison and lay it down at what he wrote, how he would write about joy and peace and the ability of God to deliver, and he would write it from prison. He said, often near death. These were his afflictions. Often I was near death. He said, 40 stripes by the Jews, 5 times, save one. 5 times the Jews beat me, 39 stripes. But I call that a light affliction. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked 3 times. And he said, I spent a night and a day in the deep. That means he was in the water. That literally got him out of the boat. He said, innumerable travels. I just run to and fro preaching the gospel. He said, I experienced the perils of robbers. I was mugged and robbed many times. The perils of my own countrymen, my own Jewish brothers turned against me. And then he said, the perils of the heathen, those that were not Jews turned. He said, I received perils in the city and perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. I experienced weariness and painfulness. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was cold, I was naked. Any of these would take us out. But the Apostle Paul said, these light afflictions. That's a little different than I'm not coming back because somebody didn't speak to me. I went to a church in Bloomington, Indiana one time. And I just happened to have, I was preaching on a Wednesday night, and they had a Thursday night service, so I visited that Thursday night service because I'd known the pastor 20 years before, and I had blue jeans on and a blue jean shirt, and went and sat on the back seat, and people would just look at me and then turn away. Not one person spoke to me. That did not affect my decision whether I was going back to church or not. Just because somebody doesn't speak to me, or somebody treats me less than nice, does not affect me. I've made up my mind that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and his church is my home until I go to my eternal home, and nothing's going to affect that. Paul's determination to continue just could not be denied. He said, I went to Iconia one time, and then I went on from there. I went on to the next city, and when I got there, he said, there was a man that was crippled from his mother's womb. And he said, the anointing came upon me, and I anointed him and prayed for him there in Lystra, and said, miraculously, he was healed. He was lame from his mother's womb, but he was miraculously healed. And everybody saw that. Both the Jews and the heathen saw that. And immediately people began to say, he's an angel come down from God that he can heal the sick. But he said, that didn't last long. They turned against me, and they began to persecute me. You know, I thought about this, and I just glanced through the scripture. And every time that God used Paul to do a great miracle, he was punished. How would you like that? Every time you do something for God and his kingdom, you don't receive praise, but you're punished. When he cast the devil out of the young woman at Philippi, what'd they do? They put him deep in the prison for delivering a woman from demon possession. Every time he did something good, he was punished. And so it was no different this time. He healed this man at Lystra. And they came and they turned everybody, the scripture said, if you read it carefully, they came and turned everybody against him. He went from being an angel to being a devil, and they stoned him. Literally picked up. They were big on stoning people. I don't know where they got into that, but that was a big deal in the Bible. Always throwing rocks at people. I've never experienced that very much. I don't think I'd like that. Rocks bouncing off your head. They stoned him, and it was no laughing matter. They stoned him so severely that it apparently killed him from all appearances there at Lystra. They drug his body, stoned him out at the outskirts of Lystra, and left him for dead. And even his followers and his brothers abandoned him and left him laying there in a rock pile. And the Apostle Paul was unconscious, but he becomes conscious, and he starts unpacking himself, taking the rocks off. And he goes back into Lystra and showed himself, I'm not dead, I'm alive. Friend, I'm sure that he looked worse for wear. I'm sure he had cuts on his face and bruises and was bleeding. But he said, I am just totally convinced that I'm not going to stop. I am going to follow Christ, and I'm going to preach this gospel. So he said, I can't die here because I have an assignment at Derby. That's a city, Derby. He said, I'm going to Derby to preach the gospel. When they thought they had killed him at Lystra, he said, no, you haven't killed me. I'm going to Derby to preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be a determination in us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we have to realize that there are outside reflections that cause us to realize whether we are stopping or not. Friend, when you quit praying, it tells you about something inside of you. When you quit coming to God's house, it's not just because somebody has offended you. It's because your love for God is waning. He went back to the same place where they stoned him and said, I just want to tell you two things. I'm not dead. And the second thing is I'm not stopping preaching the gospel. I'm going to Derby. I'm sold out to this gospel. My desire is to see everybody come to Christ, to see everybody baptized in water in the name of Christ, to see everybody filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, you're not doing a very good job, but I'm having a great time trying, praise God, to preach this gospel to every person, that they will know the power that I have received. And so he goes through all of this, and he calls it light affliction. I think if I was in Bexar County Jail overnight, I'm not sure I could call that a light affliction. I'm not sure if they came and drug me out into the parking lot and roughed me up, I would call that a light affliction. But he did, because he compared it to the recompense of reward. Here was a man that understood the power of the gospel, and he understood the power of a relationship with Christ, and he understood the power of the promise of Christ, and he said, no matter what I go through, compared to the recompense of my reward, it is a light affliction. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to rejoice. Paul said, I rejoice in my afflictions. They simply do not matter, because I know what God is going to do in my behalf. But it didn't end there just with fleshly afflictions. The Apostle Paul experienced spiritual affliction. He said, I was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. Demons attacked him. I've never had that kind of demon activity in my life. I've talked to people that said they had it. I don't know whether they were true or not. I've had a man show me that a place in his office was a burn on a carpet, and he said it was from a demon that came there. And I've got a lot of faith in Jesus, but not too much faith in demons, so I wasn't sure about that story. So I've never experienced that kind of an attack from the devil. But I have felt the spirit of the adversary against me. And I felt like, man, this is just tragic. And it's a big deal in my life. But the Apostle Paul said it's a gnat. It's a light affliction. I was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. He said, not only that, I have a thorn in the flesh. Have you ever read about in the Bible about the thorn of the flesh? The thorn in the Apostle Paul's flesh. And he said, three times I appealed to God to take it away. And God said, no, I'm going to take it away. He said, it's good for you. Paul said, now, I went through all of this thing. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. All of these things. And he said, then I was buffeted by the devil. And I was faithful to God. And then I asked God for something. And God says, no. How about you? The first time God says no, are you going to be offended? Are you saying God knows best? Even when God says no, I'm going to trust him. God said no a number of times in my life. And I don't like no today, but I generally like no tomorrow a lot better. Because after I get a little revelation of what God knows, I say, ah, God was right all along. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. If you go to seminary, they will discuss it with you, but they'll never give you an answer. I remember when I went, they told us that perhaps the thorn in flesh was a weak eyesight, that he wrote and studied so much that his eyesight was weak. There's not one scripture that tells you that, but that's what they said in seminary. Somebody else said in seminary it was because that Paul had been married, because he'd been a member of the Sanhedrin court, and he was now divorced, and that was weighing on his mind. Again, there's no scripture to that. But they will invent all kinds of what that thorn in the flesh is if you go to seminary, and nobody knows what it is. All we know is that God said no. And so he said, I went through that. That was an affliction, but he said, I just counted it as a light affliction. When God tells you no, you got to count it as a light affliction. You can't get mad and say, I'm taking my toys and going home. I've made up my mind, no matter what happens, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. If God says yes, I'll follow him. If he says no, I'll still follow him. If people are sweet to me, I'm going to follow Christ. If people turn against me, I'm going to follow Christ. I've made up my mind that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. I'm convinced that God's love is all sufficient, so now I'm working on my love for God, that I will always love God. And I will always consider that he is a great God, a wonderful God, an omniscient God, an omnipotent God, a generous God, a caring God, a loving God, an all-seeing God, a provisional God. He is a major God in my life. And I don't get everything I want, but I'm still going to praise God. And so when you look at these afflictions of Paul, he said, nothing's going to separate me. They're just light afflictions. But all these things that I've talked about, the beatings, the robbings, the perils, the perils in the deep, the shipwrecks, all these things I've told was not the greatest problem in Paul's life. The greatest problem in Paul's life was Paul's self-induced afflictions. Paul was tough on himself. You know, I've known Christians that were tough on other people, but I've never seen anybody as tough on themselves as the Apostle Paul was. I simply don't want to know everything Paul divulges about himself, because he is my role model. He's the one I look up to, but he makes sure that I do not idolize him. He wants me to know that he is a mortal man with real problems in his life. I told you about the great pastor that I knew that said he went to the Lord, and for years he started every prayer with a confession of sin that he had committed 30 years before. And he would always start every prayer with asking God to forgive him of that sin. And he said, finally, God said one day, I don't know what you're talking about, and I wish you would quit bringing it up. Well, that's all right, but I just wish my pastor friend that I held in such esteem had not used that illustration, because now the last 25 years, I've been wondering what that sin was. That's just human nature. Humans won't forget, but God will. Humans are not very good at forgiving, but God is an expert at forgiving. But friend, the greatest thing that will come against you, I promise you, even if you experience all the afflictions that the Apostle Paul experienced, that's not going to be your greatest affliction. Your greatest affliction is going to be your self-induced affliction, because you know everything about you. You see, the marvelous thing about pastoring a larger church, I was raised in small churches where they had 100 or less. And so everybody knew everything about everybody, and the pastor knew everything. I don't know hardly anything about you people, and I think you're angelic. And when somebody says something negative about you, I think they're liars, because you just look angelic. You come out here, and you smile, and you praise God, and you give 10 and 15 for 20. Why wouldn't I think you're angelic? But see, I don't have any condemnation for you, because I don't know you as well as you do. But the Apostle Paul wrestled not against the demons of the deep, or the robbers, or the men that beat him. He wrestled against himself. And he said, when I would do good, evil is present. You couldn't compliment him because he was self-deprecating. You couldn't exalt him because he abased himself. He knew what he was, and that's the reason why he had such a love for Christ. He knew that Christ loved him and saved him, not because of what he was, but in spite of what he was. That's the reason why I love Jesus. He found me at my worst and loved me like I was at my best. And so the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And he went through a whole litany of things that caused him to doubt and question himself. But he said, even though I question myself and condemn myself, he said, I have this great fear that after I've preached the gospel to the known world, that I would be a castaway. That was always on his brain. But he said, let me tell you this. He said, of all the afflictions I've gone through and all of the self-inflictions that I've got, I do not doubt that his grace is sufficient and that I'm more than a conqueror. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the difference between you and people that are not here today? They didn't give up on God. They gave up on themselves. They said, it's simply not working in my life. I go to church and I hear these testimonies and it hasn't worked in my life. I still have temptations. I still have failures. The Apostle Paul said, in my members there is another spirit, another law, the law of sin. He said, even though I know myself and the failure that I am and sin is always present, and when I would do good, evil is always there. He said, this one thing I know. The power of the gospel is greater than my own sin. is greater than my own condemnation. And John wrote and said, if your heart condemns you, God is greater. You sin is such a fraudulent thing because it will make you fail God. And then when God says, come to me and I will forgive you, sin says you're not worthy to go, and sin will cause you to flee the one that is able to heal you. Adam and Eve committed two great sins. They partook of the fruit, and the second was they fled from the presence of God. And the people that I preach to today are not perfect. But we don't want to hear about your sin. We want to hear about God's grace. We don't want to hear about your failure. We want to hear about God's overcoming power, because we are all equal in this, that none of us are perfect in our flesh, but in our Christ we are made perfect. His blood has covered us. His atonement is total, praise God. And so Paul said, light afflictions, I've had them all. And he said, the things that would bring me down was what I knew about myself. But he said, I never quit praying. I never quit gathering together with God's people. I never quit embracing the gospel. The key to salvation is you simply don't quit. It is a powerful revelation when you realize His mercy is fresh every morning. When you realize His grace is sufficient. You can say, hell has come against me, but it's light affliction because His blood is greater. His grace is greater. His mercy is greater. His strength is greater. His joy is greater. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. When you give up on God and you give up on yourself, you are not saying, I am just quitting because I'm not able. What you're saying is that Calvary was a failure, that His blood was not sufficient, that His grace failed, and His mercy does not endure. Friend, if you believe the gospel and if you believe the Bible, you'll never quit praying. You'll never quit coming. You'll never quit praising. You'll never quit rejoicing. You'll never quit hoping. You'll never lose sight. You'll say, it's but just a little trial that has come against me, a light trial, a light affliction, because when I compare it to what Christ has done for me and what Christ has promised me, it simply does not matter. I am safe and I am secure in the hand of Almighty God the Father, and I rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God praise to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I had a friend who was an excellent evangelist, extremely talented musically, played several instruments, sang, and was a great orator. I don't know what happened to him. He told me a story and I still couldn't figure it out. He told me he was seduced in West Virginia by the most beautiful woman he ever saw. And he said, I fell into terrible sin. And he said, I just couldn't ever get back. So he said, I gave up and I quit. He said, I was in a bar in Midland, Texas during the oil boom. He said, I was sitting at that bar drinking. And said, there was a girl, and I was buying drinks for her. Said she'd take a drink and she'd look at me. Said she'd take a drink and she'd look at me. And all of a sudden she started crying. He said, what's wrong with you? She said, I just figured out who you were. You are the evangelist that preached to me in Port Arthur, Texas, the night I got saved. She said, I'm terribly backslid, but what are you doing here? And he said, when she said that to me, he said, it was like somebody took their fist and hit me in the face. He said, I run out in the parking lot and got in my car, and I spent hours in my car begging, praying, and talking to God. And he said, God literally manifested himself to me and said, son, I never left you. You left me. Welcome back. Welcome back. And from that event in that parking lot, he was restored, went back into ministry, and pastored a church where everybody knew his past. But they did not excuse his failure, but they glorified his restoration. God is able. Nobody is beyond the long arm of grace. Nobody is beyond the embrace of love. Friend, you simply don't give up. Whether your affliction is from somebody, a buffeting by the devil, or your affliction is self-affected, you simply don't get up. You run to Christ. You go to his house. You go to his altar. You go to his cross. You go to his grace. You go to his mercy and say, Jesus, here I am. And he said, I will in no wise cast you out. There are people in this building right now that you're not living victoriously because you are letting condemnation literally sap the victory out of your spirit. Friend, God does not hold grudges. And Christ told story after story about the one lost sheep, about the prodigal son, about the lost coin, because he wanted people that used to be again. And Christ is in this room right now, and there's somebody that's not what you used to be, but I tell you in the authority of God's word, you can be more than you ever were if you'll run to Jesus right now.